We are calling the meeting of the City of Goleta Planning Commission for July 10th, 2023 to order. First, we'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, next we'll have a roll call of the Planning Commission.
Commissioner Miller.
Here.
Commissioner Fullerton.
Here.
Commissioner Chapman.
Here.
Vice Chair Maynard.
Here.
And Chair Smith.
Here. Okay, and the next item is the public forum. This is a time where the public can have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item that's relevant to the City of Goleta, so a topic that's not on tonight's agenda. Do we have any speakers for public forum?
Chair Smith, I don't have any speaker slips, nor are there any members on the Zoom webinar.
Thank you. With that, I'll go ahead and close the public forum. Next, we have amendments or adjustments to the agenda. I understand we have one a recommended adjustment.
Yes, good evening, Madam Chair. We'd request that the Commission take C1 first. This is just an open and continue item, which we think we can handle quickly.
Perfect. That sounds agreeable to me. So so we'll go ahead and begin with the public hearing item under item C, and then follow up with the presentation.
Okay, so that is item C1, request to amend the Camino Real specific plan and development plan, removal of the specific plan overlay designation, approval of the historic medical office buildings with a daycare use, and an approximately 2-foot height adjustment, and accept a California Environmental Quality Act notice of exemption at 6975 Santa Felicia Drive, APN 073-440-026, case numbers 21-0005-DP, 21-0002-SP, 22-0002-ORD, and 23-0001-DPAM.
Thank you. So first, we'll this is a public hearing item, so we'll ask staff for a brief update. We will open the public hearing and then go from there into our motions. So would staff like to provide an update on this item?
Sure. Staff and the applicant are still working out a few development issues, and so that is the reason for the request for the continuance. And we are, as stated, asking you to open the public hearing, see if there are any members of the public that are present tonight that can't be present on the 14th, take their comments, and then continue the item to the 14th. And we'd have the full hearing on that night.
Wonderful, thank you for that update. Let's see, anything else from any other staff? Okay, so we will go ahead and open the public hearing at this time. Do we have any speaker slips or individuals on Zoom who would like to speak on this item?
Chair Smith, I don't have any speaker slips, and there are no members on the Zoom webinar.
Okay, let's see. So it is the staff recommendation to continue this item to August 14th. Are there, I don't know if there's any other comments from commissioners in terms of that timing. I see none. So if there's nothing further, I will close the public comment. Oh, we need to leave it open.
Yeah, we need to leave the public hearing open.
Got it.
Continue the hearing to a date certain.
Got it, okay. So with that clarification, I will seek a motion to continue this item to August 14th, 2023.
I will offer a motion to continue this item until August 14th.
Is there a second?
Second.
I have a second. And then we will Looks like we will do a roll call vote. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and we will do a roll call vote of the planning commissioners.
Planning commissioners, please remember to lock in your votes. Commissioner Chapman?
Aye.
Commissioner Fullerton?
Aye.
Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
Commissioner Maynard?
Aye.
And Chair Miller. Or Chair Smith, sorry. And Commissioner Miller. Yeah.
Yes.
There we go. And please just remember to lock in your votes on your screens.
Oh, interesting. Is that confirmed? Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a little bit unclear.
It was unanimous.
So it is unanimous. This item has been continued to August 14th. Thank you to staff. We'll look forward to seeing you back at that time. Okay. So we will move to the next item on our agenda.
I'm sorry, Chair Smith.
Yes.
Now we would need to close the public hearing, correct?
No.
No? Still no? Oh, because it's continued. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Always good to clarify. Mm-hmm. So we'll move to our next item, which is a presentation from city staff. Would the clerk read this item in for the record?
That is item B1, Board and Commission Document Amendments.
And let's see, I understand we have a staff presentation on this item.
Yes, we do. Thank you, Chair Smith and members of the Planning Commission. I'm Christy Schmidt. I'm the Assistant City Manager. I don't get an opportunity to address the Planning Commission very often, so I'm very happy to be here. We took an item to the City Council on May 16th that made certain changes to the documents governing boards and commissions for the City of Goleta. And we wanted to take this opportunity to visit all of our boards and commissions, to go over the changes with you so that you understand them, and also to let you ask questions and give us any feedback that you have or thoughts on the matter. So the agenda for today, let me take a time to introduce my colleague, Shannon Kern, who is a management analyst in the city manager's office and has helped with this project and will be assisting me in the presentation today. So the agenda for our discussion will be going over the purpose and goals of the updates that we made. Shannon's going to talk a little bit about the municipal code changes, specifically related to the Planning Commission. And then I will talk about the policy resolution that is applicable to all city boards and commissions. And then we'll talk about the increase to compensation, stipends, for all of our boards and commission members. And then we'll talk about our next steps and what we're foreseeing for the future and what you can expect to see come next. So the City of Goleta has 7 boards and commissions, and they were all created at various points in the city's history at different times and by different staff members and councils. And so they're all a little bit different. They're all very important in their advisory role to the city council. But the municipal code sections in particular, because they were created at different times and by different people, they weren't consistent in the way they are organized. They had similar sections, but they didn't follow a consistent flow. Sometimes the wording would say the same thing, but maybe just a little bit differently. In other cases, we had roles and things that actually were in this section of the municipal code that weren't consistent with Title 17, particularly related to DRB and Planning Commission, because they predated Title 17. So we wanted to make changes just to improve consistency and transparency for all of those sections and make them have more of a consistent flow. We also had, at the various boards and commissions, there were some extraneous documents, resolutions and bylaws that weren't in the municipal code that existed. And in a lot of cases, these resolutions were similar to each other, included similar provisions, such as the selection of a chair and a vice chair, the setting of meetings, some of those administrative matters. They, in some cases, repeated things that were already in the municipal code, and in the case of the DRB bylaws, even were the old municipal code and not the new municipal code. In some cases, they had created confusion as to roles that were inconsistent with an advisory body, not really related to this commission, but in some cases they talked about powers and duties that really are the city councils and not necessarily board of commissions. Plus they were hard to find. Unless you knew that they were there and where to go looking for them, you wouldn't even have known that they existed. And so we wanted to make sure that the things that apply to boards and commissions into the municipal code so that people would know where to look for them. And we also wanted to consolidate some of those administrative matters into a single resolution that applied to all of our boards and commissions that everybody could be aware of and would be more accessible to the public and to our board and commission members. In addition, our city clerk is hoping to create a handbook for boards and commissions, for the members of boards and commissions, and something that our board and commission members have been asking for some time. And so I'd love it if I just had something that went through all of the rules and procedures related to the board and being a member of the board and commission. And so they're working on that. And so these rules and procedures will be incorporated into that handbook when the city clerk puts it out. Next slide, please. So the goals that we had were to establish an ongoing role for our Public Engagement Commission. It had been created just by resolution in response to a settlement of a lawsuit, but has been evolved into a commission that we really relied on. So we wanted to codify that commission and put it into our municipal code as we have with our other boards and commissions. We wanted to modernize, simplify, and standardize the municipal code sections for all of our boards and commissions to provide for efficiency, transparency, and consistency. We wanted to amend or establish required desirable qualifications for some of our boards and commissions. We already had them for the Historic Preservation Commission and for the Public Tree Advisory Commission, and I think there was one more, the DRB, but we didn't have them for our other boards and commissions, and so we, with the exception of the Planning Commission, we've adopted desirable qualifications for board and commission members. We added a requirement for all boards and commission members that they, qualification that they uphold our DEI goals in the city, that's diversity, equity, and inclusion goals. And we eliminated those extraneous documents, those resolutions and bylaws, so that we wouldn't have those floating out there. We established rules and procedures consistent with good government practices, which we'll go over. For youth commissioners, which exist on our Parks and Recreation Commission and on our Public Engagement Commission, we removed the requirement the youth commissioner be a current student. And then we increased the compensation for boards and commission members. So with that, I'm going to pass the presentation to Shannon Kern, who will talk about our municipal code changes.
Good evening, Chair, Commissioners. As Chrissy said, my name is Shannon Kern, Management Analyst in the City Manager's Office. And so tonight I'm going to go over some of the updates to the municipal code specific to the Planning Commission chapter. This is 2.09. So some of the changes include an overall cleanup and simplification of each chapter. As Chrissy mentioned, the boards and commissions were created at different times, which resulted in a lack of consistent structure and feel. So we standardized the order of the sections and to make it more predictable and easier to navigate. And then we also updated some of the wording where applicable to be more consistent across the chapters. And specifically for Planning Commission and DRB Design Review Board, we also ensured that it was consistent with Title 17 and made sure that there were no duplications and just made sure it was consistent across the board. The purpose section and the responsibility sections we also updated throughout to ensure that it was ensure that there's a more uniform flow while still respecting the unique scope of each board and commission. In addition, some of the language from those extraneous documents was incorporated to ensure that certain provisions were carried forward. And so these are some of the general changes to the municipal code. In the next few slides, I'll be going over a few of the specific sections that we wanted to highlight today. But I did want to point out that the updated chapter for Planning Commission can also be found on the Goleta Municipal Code website, as well as it's an attachment in the staff report. So the first section that I wanted to highlight is the purpose section. So this is a new section for the Planning Commission chapter. It did not exist before, and it's been added to ensure that consistent structure across all the chapters for boards and commissions. And so this was developed in consultation with staff liaisons. And so this we hope that it reflects the kind of general purpose and role that the Planning Commission currently serves. So for all boards and commissions, we attempted to keep the purpose kind of simple and concise, whereas in the responsibility section, it gets a little bit more detailed. All the words in italics are the additions, the new sections. And so since the whole section is new, all of it's italicized. There are two main purposes for Planning Commission. And so it reads, the purpose of the Planning Commission shall be to advise the City Council and staff on all matters pertaining to land use, planning, and development. The Commission shall carry out such duties as are prescribed by California law or enumerated in the Goleta Municipal Code. So short, sweet, and simple. And now the next section I wanted to highlight is the qualifications of members. This is not a new section. We did reorder it a little bit, but the only update for this section is the first dot point, which is the added language for the diversity, equity, inclusion language. So this was updated for all boards and commissions. Everyone has the same language added. And so this supports the importance and the efforts that the city is conducting as it relates to diversity, equity, inclusion. And so the existing qualifications for Planning Commission, so that all members must be residents of the city for a year presiding their appointment, and then also qualified electors in the city. And then the other requirement that the members may not be an employee or an officer of the city. Those stayed the same. They did not change. So the next section I want to highlight is the responsibility section. So there were a few word changes to this section. So in the very beginning, we did add the included but not limited to, just to make sure that it does encompass, any changes that may come out with California state law or anything like that. Or the changes in the municipal code. In the first section A under this section, there was a reference to the expenditure of city resources. So that was removed that's one of those functions that ultimately lies with City Council, so didn't reflect the advisory, body. In B, there was a little bit of cleanup, just making sure that the government code sections were accurate. The name was updated and clarified for this section 65583. And then continuing for the other other subsections in the responsibilities. The next change was in D. So C stayed the same, you know, that was existing. So in C, it made reference to other public works projects for other local jurisdictions, and staff felt that this was not relevant or applicable. So we did remove it from D. And then the final change for responsibilities was in the last section F. So instead of just saying Title 17, we tried to broaden it by saying just the Goleta Municipal Code, and then added, you know, included but not limited to in the specific section 17.50.040, which is the Planning Commission responsibility section in Title 17. And the last section that I wanted to highlight for the Municipal Code Planning Commission chapter changes is the meeting section. So we added language, it's in italics on the screen, the as needed or fulfill its duties. We added this language to all boards and commission chapters, and to allow for more flexibility when determining meetings. So this could be, you know, more or fewer meetings to give just a little bit more flexibility when determining and scheduling meetings. And yes, this was added to all the boards and commission chapters. And so this could be when there are no agenda topics or no items and a meeting is not necessary. This gives the authority to cancel a meeting, or when more meetings are needed and there's, you know, multiple items that a meeting can be added, even if it's, if it's more than monthly, right? So shall meet monthly, that didn't change, but more than one meeting a month could occur or less with this language.
Would staff prefer to take questions now or at the end of the presentation?
I think we can take questions as we go along.
Yep. Okay. Commissioner Maynard?
So for this slide, would this mean that we'd switch to monthly meetings, or it's just to have that flexibility in there and we would maintain our twice a month meetings?
So currently, or before these updates, it was already monthly. Regular meetings in the municipal code were monthly. As far as I'm aware.
Since I've been on Planning Commission, we've done them twice a month. So that's where our confusion was.
Okay.
Or where my confusion was also.
Yeah, just follow up. So we already had, for the most part, two meetings a month scheduled for the rest of the year. So I assume that nothing's changing with what we already have scheduled.
The intent was not to change your current schedule of meetings, and we'll go back and look at that. That's good feedback. I don't think we were aware that you were meeting twice a month, and the municipal code did say monthly. So,
thanks.
Yeah, but this kind of ties into the next dot point, which is in relation to the new policies, the rules and procedures resolution that was adopted on May 16th. We may look at this, and there may be some exceptions possibly, but there is a provision in that resolution where any additional meetings can be scheduled as needed, but cannot exceed three without the city manager approval. So this is just to make sure that the city manager is aware of how many meetings are actually happening. So, you know, maybe this was already happening too, just wasn't aware, but that is in there. So you can have, it's not a restriction on number of meetings. It's more just to make sure that there's a little bit of oversight and make sure that the city manager is aware if there are more than three, because for other boards and commissions, more than three is a lot. It may not be as applicable for Planning Commission, but that is a provision across the board for all boards and commissions. So that wraps up my updates for the municipal code changes. So I'm going to pass it back to Christy for the rest of the presentation.
Yeah. Thank you.
Um, So for the rules and procedures, we did want to, as we've discussed, adopt a single set of rules of procedures to replace some of the provisions that were in those various extraneous documents, but also to set forth, you know, clear rules that are applicable to all of our boards and commission members. Most of these are not new rules. These are rules that have either existed expressly or impliedly throughout, but we wanted to put them forth in writing as other agencies do, and also to create a basis from which the city clerk could start to create that handbook. There are three sort of general types of provisions in the rules, and those are all attached to your staff report, the rules. But they are sort of good government principles, and rules related to compliance with laws and policies. And then the last is sort of administrative requirements, administrative matters. So the guidelines that fall into the good government principles include ensuring that activities are limited to the subject matters that have been referred to the Board or Commission by the City Council, and don't sort of stray outside of that, just making that clear that that's the expectation. And other matters as may from time to time be referred by the City Council to a Board or Commission. They will sometimes say, well, you know, it'd be great to get, you know, X Board or Commission to weigh in on this and actually do it, give an additional charge to a Board or Commission on a project by project basis. So they can still do that. But this would say, you know, this would you know, provide guidance to staff and to boards and commissions that the subject matter that's been delegated is the subject matter that they should, you know, limit the agenda items to. The second would be clarifying the advisory roles of these bodies, and that ultimate financial and policy making authority resides with elected officials. And that is something you will commonly see in board and commission manuals and rules. There is something in there about direct interference with staff under the government code. This even applies to the city council. The city manager manages city staff, and city council members and board and commission members are expected to work through the city manager in the direction of staff and not to interfere with the performance of their duties, not to interfere with their hiring or firing, and to leave those personnel matters to the city manager. There's also a provision in there about encouraging and not discouraging broad public participation. That's just another good government principle that our boards and commissions exist to allow to improve the public's ability to comment on city matters and not to restrict it. The next section is policy and legal compliance requirements, and you should all be familiar with these. The Brown Act and the Public Records Act are two. Prohibitions on discrimination, harassment, and workplace bullying are included in the policy. There's requirements about complying with information technology policies. This didn't used to be an issue, but as we issue more and more of our boards and commissions tablets and they have access to computing resources, it's important. We felt it was important to move forward to create and ensure compliance with those IT policies that protect our assets and the security of information. Our code of ethics and our conflicts of interest policies and laws, compliance with those, as well as restrictions on the use of public resources for political activities. And these are all existing requirements, but it's good to get them, you know, in writing in one place and into that handbook, just so that all of our new boards and commissioners know right up front what's expected. And then finally, there are provisions in the rules and procedures that deal with participating in required trainings, the Brown Act, the non-discrimination harassment, ethics trainings that might be required. The setting of meeting agendas and how meeting agendas are set and how any sort of disagreements over meeting agendas are resolved. Meetings, the conduct of meetings, and how those meetings are set. Quorums and how quorums are established. Selection of officers, a chair and a vice chair. Those were provisions that were in those various resolutions that now are just in one place and applicable to all of our boards and commissions. And then just talking about the standardized use of Rosenberg's Rules of Order for the conduct of meetings. Rosenberg's Rules, the clerk would tell me, revised. It's very important to have the revised. And the clerk wants to provide more training on that and also to include those rules in the handbook. And so you can understand why they're now in these rules, just establishing that expectation. So those are the rules and procedures, and you can expect to see that handbook coming out pretty soon. And then the final item we wanted to talk to about was the increase to compensation. Boards and commission members receive a stipend designed to compensate them for what are the expenditures, expected expenditures that they may incur in their service. It's not, you know, pay, it's not minimum wage, but it is a recognition of the time, effort, and resources that you may have to put into your service. So for the Planning Commission, we are recommending an increase from $100 per meeting to $150 per meeting, which is a 50% increase. We're also recommending the increase to the one-time training allowance from $200 to $300. And for other boards and commissions, they currently receive a stipend of $50 per meeting, and we are recommending increasing that to $75 per meeting. And this is based on the cost of living since the last time these were looked at and established. And, you know, just a typical cost of living calculator from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Yeah, not very fancy, but so that was how we came up with the numbers. And so that is effective July 1, so it would be effective for this meeting. So our next steps are, at least they were at the time that we talked to the council, the Brown Act training, and you all got an invitation to and hopefully attended that Brown Act training on June 1st that our city attorney put on. We're also adopting new citywide non-discrimination and information technology policies. Our old policies existed in our personnel rules, which technically don't apply to our elected officials or boards and commissioners. So we wanted to make sure to get those policies into a format that clearly did apply to our council members and our boards and commissioners. And then to get them to each board and commission member for acknowledgement of receipt of the policy. Then also, those policies did go to council on June 20th, so you can expect to see the request for the acknowledgement to get copies of those policies and the request for receipt, acknowledgement of receipt of those policies coming through soon. And then, of course, the city clerk is going to create that handbook, so we're looking forward to that. And we also did tell the council, hey, we're going out, we're going to talk to our boards and commission members, we're going to get their questions and their feedback, and if we feel that there's additional changes that we think we need to make, we'll return to you. So that would be another thing that we would be in our next steps. And with that, that concludes our presentation, and we're happy to take any questions you might have.
Yes, Commissioner Miller.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. It was very good, very interesting. I learned a lot. Just a couple questions. When we go back to the stipend chart, and we go from 100 to 150, that's fine. Not going to dispute with you on that. The one-time training allowance, 200 to 300. I have absolutely no idea what that is or what that even means. Does that mean one time during the entire 4 years of being a planning commissioner, or is it one time per year, or what? Can you just expound on that a little bit and what that would be used for?
That's a very good question. I'm going to have to go back and refresh my memory here. I do have the resolution. You know, the resolution isn't clear on that, and so I'm going to have to talk to the city clerk. I'm not sure if that is one time per commissioner ever or one time per appointment for people who are appointed to multiple terms. It would be certainly one time for the term, but I will have to talk to the city clerk about whether someone who's appointed to an additional term would receive an additional training stipend. The answer is I just don't know. I'm going to have to check in. So hopefully we can get you that answer.
Madam Chair, one thing that I would mention is that we do budget annually in the Planning and Environmental Review Department for conference attendance, which includes trainings. So I don't know if this overlaps with this amount or not, but we do make sure that commissioners have the ability to attend, for example, the Planning Commissioners Academy, which is put on by the League of Cities, that occurred earlier this year, or alternatively, American Planning Association conferences. So we provide for that in our annual budget, but it'll be interesting. I'll need clarification on whether this overlaps with that.
Okay. We'll get you clarification on that.
And then one more. Oh, sorry.
Sorry, I can actually provide some clarification on that. We did just hear word from our city clerk who said that it is one time per year and that it is for the annual conference.
Okay, so does that mean, because we went to the, several of us went to the Planning Commissioners meeting, a couple months ago? And, you know, our expenses were paid, and it was an excellent experience and learned a lot there. It was well worth it. But does that mean, besides the city paying for our expenses, do they also give us $300 for our time, I would assume? Is that what that means?
Madam Chair, I'll venture to say that no, there's no additional compensation for your time, but we do budget to cover the expense of your attendance, which would include the registration fee, your travel there and back, and then your accommodation while you're there. And I agree, that is an excellent training conference. I attended myself 2 years ago, and it's very worthwhile. If any commissioners haven't attended it yet, we recommend it. The League of Cities does a great job.
Okay, and then I have one more question, and that is relating to the Brown Act training. I got the email from the city clerk's office. This was just a very, if you can offer some clarification on this. I got the email, save the date for the Brown training on June 1st. I put it on my calendar, I responded and said, yes, I wanna be there. It specifically said on the notice that the email came to us, to all the commission members, I would assume, it said this will be a noticed meeting. So I kept looking for, as it got closer and closer, I kept looking for the city of Goleta to be sending out a noticed meeting. I assumed you wanted the public to know about that commissioners or whoever was attending the meeting, and that it was being offered, the Brown Act training was being offered. And it never appeared. And I even sent some emails to the city clerk's office and said, is this still happening? I haven't seen any notice come out. And I never got a response until 1 hour before the Brown Act training, saying, yeah, we're looking forward to seeing you all, you know, come on down and blah, blah, blah. And at that point, because I hadn't heard anything back and the meeting was not noticed, I couldn't come because I had already made other plans at that point. So my question is, when something says it's going to be a noticed meeting, what does that mean? When it says it's going to be a noticed meeting and it isn't a noticed meeting, are you still able to have the meeting even though you haven't noticed it? I'm just confused on all that. And I'm probably confused you in my question, but see if you can help me out here.
I was not aware that it wasn't noticed. My understanding is that the meeting was noticed. When we say noticed, what that means is that it was posted at our public noticing sites. The agenda for the meeting was posted at our public noticing sites within the required timeline, which is 72 hours for a regular meeting or 24 hours for a special meeting. I will need to follow up with the city clerk on that, I'm not aware that it was not noticed. My understanding was that was a noticed meeting for all of our boards and commissions.
I'll just concur that the communication about that training, at least from my perspective, felt like it could have been a little bit improved. I too was uncertain whether or not it was still going, because we hadn't gotten anything after the save the date. So I agree that I was a little bit confused about that particular training.
That's excellent feedback, and we will provide that to the city clerk, and we'll kind of think through how we can make sure that it's not confusing in the future to anyone.
Thank you. Let's see, I have a couple other requests to speak. Commissioner Fullerton.
Yeah, just a quick question. There's something about excused absences, and if action to excuse a member's absence from a meeting will consist of a majority vote of the remainder of the board and commission members, it must be recorded in the meeting minutes. So just process-wise for that, so is that like if staff finds out a commissioner is not able to come, they would add that to the agenda, but as an amendment? Like, would it have to be something on the agenda that we would vote on? I'm just curious about the process.
I'm going to let our city attorney address that process question.
Certainly it doesn't need to be an agendized item. I don't think that the public has a comment is pivotal. It's just to create a process so that we don't have a lot of absences that kind of just happen. And so we want it to be on the record that the governing body has voted that it's an excused absence, because I think it's up to three that you can miss, that then it's sort of an automatic removal.
Okay, thanks for clarifying. That is all my questions.
Thank you. Yeah, that would seem to me to be a new procedure for us, so it might be helpful to have some guidance on implementing that at future meetings. Let's see, Commissioner Chapman.
Thank you. I had a question about the removal of the review of public works projects of other local agencies. Was there ever a time that was done, or is that something that is possible but not a responsibility? I'm curious why that was there.
Commissioner Chapman, I think that was the reason we took it out, was that we don't remember a time when the Planning Commission looked at the projects of another local agency. And because the duties now include, but not limited to, if it ever did come up, it certainly would be something the Planning Commission could look at. But in our recollection, in the recollection of staff, we don't remember it ever being an issue.
Let's see, I think we have some comments on that. Commissioner Maynard.
I think we had some courtesy presentations before, but I'd call them a courtesy. So I think the airport has come and presented to the Planning Commission before and shared about public works projects that they were doing. And we gave some general feedback at the presentation, but it was not I think, a duty of ours. We didn't take action on it, but we have had presentations like that during my tenure.
I could see that, or other City of Santa Barbara items where we're near the airport area. Commissioner Fullerton.
Just one more quick question. So you had said this has gone to the City Council already. So did they vote on this? Like, is this actually approved?
Yes, the City Council has voted and approved the changes to the municipal code and the adoption of the resolution.
Okay, thanks for clarifying.
Commissioner Chapman.
Okay, one more question about the any additional meetings than monthly. Any more than three need to be approved by the city manager. Is that each additional meeting needs to be reviewed and approved, or is that just that there will be more than three additional meetings? Is that sort of like an authorization for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I think that it would be whatever the city manager sets out. And basically, it's what has already happened. So the city manager already has authorized, because it was 12 and you're doing 24, the city manager has already authorized for this commission that there be more than 12. So it wouldn't be a change. It's just it's in the rules now that provides the city manager some ability to control the expense and, you know, for staff time related to adding, you know, multiple additional meetings and of course the stipend costs. But for this commission, it's clearly already been longstanding practice and authorization to be more than 12.
Thank you.
And then I just had one final comment. You know, my sense is that over the years, and maybe even more before we even had some of these additional advisory commissions, that the Planning Commission has, you know, weighed in an advisory capacity, maybe on some areas, you know, related to land use, but it's not, you know, directly a proposed project or other items. So it sounds like this clarifies that if that were to happen, that would be at the direction of the City Council. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. The City Council would you know, authorize an additional, you know, discussion outside. But, you know, we're here making this recommendation, and so at the authorization of the City Council. But, yeah, I mean, I would expect that presentations and things of related matters, you know, would continue to be able to happen. Decision-making, you know, bringing a decision-making function to you, I think would specifically need to be delegated by the City Council.
Right. Okay. And then on that note, if there were, I'm just thinking about if I'm not sitting here as chair in other years, if other commissioners are, if they were interested, or if the commissioners were interested in a information topic of some time, of some type on a certain item of interest, that would be something that we could request of staff. Do we retain that authority?
You would be able to request that staff, you know, consider the ability to bring that back to you as a presentation item, or, you know, depending on what the item was. Is it a presentation? Is it something where you want to actually weigh in with an advisory capacity, mm-hmm. With a vote, or, you know, so, but yes, you can work with the liaison to your board and, you know, to your commission, to get that through, and if we need to go to council to get additional authority, we would.
Wonderful. Yeah, I think sometimes, you know, I think as we've grown and matured as a city, one item that comes to mind is I received a public inquiry about the Elwood Mesa Habitat Management Plan, and a question about whether or not, or why that hadn't come to Planning Commission. And, you know, my understanding was, well, it's you know, kind of, it's viewed as as habitat management, not as like a development plan, as we legally sort of define these things. But if City Council, in their discretion, wanted Planning Commission to weigh in, that would be their decision in that kind of situation. Is that right?
Yes, they could certainly do that. That is within the subject matter authority of the Parks and Recreation Commission. So so we wouldn't want to have that, you know, they kind of have that overlap and it's sort of, okay, who's the advisory body for that? It's the Parks, that particular example, it's the Parks and Recreation Commission. Okay. But there's no reason that the council couldn't also say, and we'd like the Planning Commission to weigh in on their thoughts on this matter.
Okay. That's helpful. Yeah, I think some of this is, just as we have more commissions over time, sorting out who's doing what when.
Chair and commissioners, I would just add that, of course, the Planning Commission's statutory authority is already very broad, so that anything that pertains to our general plan mm-hmm. or zoning change has to go through the Planning Commission before the council acts on it as a legislative matter. And similarly, there are many discretionary projects where the Planning Commission has direct review authority. So where it pertains to, you know, land use as it is regulated by the city through the general plan and zoning, the Planning Commission is the place to stop where things must go before they go to council.
Great. We all like to weigh in, so we're happy to retain that authority.
Okay. The other boards and commissions do too.
I'm sure. Commissioner Maynard.
Good to go back to your original comment, Chair. I don't necessarily see this as a narrowing or refining of the Planning Commission's scope. It seems like the action we're doing right now is codifying and clarifying, but I'm not sure that we've done anything that's been out of scope, so I don't see this, at least the way I'm reading it and the way that I'm reading the presentation. It's not a narrowing of what Planning Commission has been doing, or because Planning Commission has gone out of scope. This is just getting the clarity in the guidelines. Is that correct? Or
that is correct. The intent was not to narrow the scope of the Planning Commission. Your scope is very broad. Again, anything that, you know, matters that touch the general plan, are very broad.
Any other comments or questions from commissioners? Okay, my understanding is this is an informative presentation, and so there is no vote or decision-making by us this evening. Thank you to staff.
And we've collected great feedback from you, and we appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you to staff. Okay, let's see. Our next item, I believe, is director's comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have just three items I'd like to update the commission on. Apropos the commission's statutory responsibilities for land use, on Thursday, July 20th at 5:30, there will be a special joint meeting of the council, the city council, and the planning commission to conduct a study session of our housing element and consider proposed vacant sites for rezoning to housing in response to the state's comments on the city's adopted housing element. So that will be an important meeting, which we look forward to, and a staff report will be released shortly, which will include a list of vacant sites. We also encourage the public to attend and provide input. Then I wanted to alert the commission that on Thursday, August 3rd at noon, there will be a virtual meeting, a plastic-free Goleta Lunch and Learn, to learn about the new requirements of our single-use plastics reduction ordinance and its implementation in our city, which will be noticed soon. So notice will be forthcoming. Please look for that. And we encourage anyone interested to attend, including business owners who might be affected by this. As you may recall, the single-use plastics ordinance went into effect in June. So it's in effect now, and businesses throughout the city should be complying with it. Then third, I wanted to, looking ahead, alert the commission and the public to a fun event that we hold every year, the Dam Dinner, which is held at Lake Los Carneros Dam, that will take place this year on Saturday, August 19th from 4 to 7, and we invite all members of the community to attend. There will also be noticing coming up for that. Thank you very much.
Thank you for those updates. Do we have any Planning Commission comments or questions? I see none. Do we have a motion for adjournment?
I'll motion to adjourn.
A motion. Is there a second?
A second.
A motion and a second, and then we'll go to a roll call vote.
Commissioners, please remember to lock in your votes. Commissioner Miller?
Yes.
Commissioner Fullerton?
Aye.
Commissioner Chapman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Maynard?
Aye.
And Chair Smith?
Aye. Okay. Well, unanimous. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Have a good evening.